how you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. You started with that capital letter and you put the period at the end, Lord. Let us trust you with the details that come in between. So, Lord, let us live this thing. Speak to us through your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. Lord, let us put our lives in biblical perspective. With everything that's going on, let us look at it through the lens of the Bible. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge. Give us insight. Give us discernment. Let us live with discretion. What to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say. Teach us, Lord, through your word. We love you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here we are at Psalms 18, verse 1. And it seems as I'm studying, so I'm going, been going through this. We're talking about the new and the old. I remember the new wants to thrive and grow in God. The new wants to thrive. The old wants to be lazy and hide. So we're talking about the new and the old, and we've gone through humility and pride. God shows us how he's elected us, how we're a special treasure. The enemy's trying to get us to live like trash. So as you think about your week, did you believe God and you lived your life according to the treasure, or did you let the enemy convince you to act like trash? God says we're that special treasure. Just think about, let's say, the week. Okay, let's think about last night, for you treasure trash last night, for those who forgot what happened during the week. Amen. How about this morning? All right, enough of that. In Psalms 18 and 1, David gives us the pattern, the formula. He lifts God up before he gets into his issues and his concerns and his circumstances. Amen. He starts off, he says, and he's singing, "Remember, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." So he lifts up God before he gets to his issues. Remember, elevate God way above your issues. And then it's okay to discuss your issues, as he talks about in verse 4, "The sorrows of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid." So here's the king. Here's a man after God's own heart. And he was afraid and he was scared. It's okay to be afraid and scared, but you lift God up as you're dealing with the fear and the uncertainty. Amen. Said the sorrows of hell surrounded me and the snares of death confronted me. I was confronted. Verse 6, he said, "In my distress, in my despondency, in my depression, I called upon the Lord and I cried." Somebody should have that underlined. It's okay to be godly and call God and cry. Men, it's okay to cry. Amen. Saw Sesame Street. How many of you have seen Sesame Street before? Amen. Yeah, it's a segment on there, and it's called "It's Okay to Cry." And it's showing all the little kids there at the park, and they got little boo-boos, and they're all crying, and it's okay to cry. And the scriptures tells us that as well. It is okay to cry, but you're crying to God. Then it talks about the prayer where we've gotten into the prayer. He said, "He heard my voice." You have to know that God hears your voice. He hears the prayers of the righteous. We talked about it in Proverbs. So we know that God hears us. We know that we're righteous not in and of ourselves, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, which makes us righteous. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which makes us righteous. So we can call and we can cry and we know that God hears us. You have to believe that. I've challenged you to read chapter 2. Verse 2, Psalms 18 and 2 each day. Start your day lifting God up. Amen. And then go out and deal with what you got to deal with. Amen. Yes. Said he cried and came before him even unto his ears. So we've gotten into prayer. Last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer. Make a note of it. Matthew 6, verse 5. We talked about the Lord's Prayer. Take us there, Natalie. You know I'm always all over the place. Matthew 6 and 5. We talked about prayer. Said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray to be seen. They love to put on a show, and we know it's not about the show, it's about the no. We're not trying to be seen. When you're praying, it's between you and God, and God is saying, come clean. Take us to 6, Natalie. Verse 6. Go into the closet and close the door. Your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. Go and close the door and pray. That means you got to be transparent, means you got to come clean, and it's you and God. That's a tough one. It's a tough one. And this is daily. Family, we're seeking God daily. Honestly, asking God, being transparent in prayer. Go to the next one, Natalie. Say, you don't need a lot of words. Don't use all those vain rep. You don't need a lot of words. God, help me. I'm struggling. Amen. God, I need your help. I'm about to fall apart. I don't know what to do with these kids. Go in there and shut the door. I'm struggling with my singleness. I'm struggling in my marriage. Be transparent. Why? Because look at verse 8, Natalie. Father knows what things you have need of even before you ask him. So why am I in there playing with God? Because God already knows what I need. So I go in there and I come clean and I'm struggling. And God, I need your help. It's this promotion on the job. I don't know if it's for me. God, I'm getting ready to get a pink slip. God, whatever's going on, Lord, this relationship, this new person's come into my life. Lord, are they going to take me closer to you or further away? Lord, let me come clean. Show me, give me wisdom, Lord. I don't want to deal with anyone who's not of you. I don't want to be anywhere that you're not. Lord, I'm closing the door. I'm transparent. You know I'm struggling, Lord. I'm coming clean. And by the way, Lord, you know what I have need of, not what I want, but what I need. So why am I going to play with you, Lord? And what we have need of. Every day going to God. What's the next verse, Matt? After this man, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let's lift up the name of God high. It's our Father. It's family. And it's no accident that the enemy tries to get the father out of the home and have us to feel like we're not worthy as fathers. Because the research shows that how kids view their father is how they view their heavenly father. So if you had a bad relationship with your father, as soon as you read a scripture like this, our Father, I'm out. If God is like my father, I'm out of here. But he is our father. He's our heavenly father. And his name is hallowed, is high, and is lifted up. We have to understand that. And ask God, because he's going to get to it, about the forgiveness. Because we need to, if you had a bad relationship with your father, you need to forgive your father. Next verse, Natalie. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not my will, but your will. So there's an exchange of wills. That's why this is a tough prayer. People just say it, our Father, which art. No. Are you ready to exchange your will for God's will? You go in a closet, you shut the door, you ready to say, God, whatever my agenda is, cancel it. Whatever your will is, let's implement it. I need you to get rid of it. I need you to stop seeing that person right now. Oh, God, but you know, I'm still ministering. I said, are you ready to exchange the will? Well, Lord, you know, she's almost saved right now. I said, you need to get rid of her. Well, Lord, he told me he prayed the other night. I said, get rid of him. Are you ready to exchange your will? You can't pray that if you're not ready for it. It just shows the depth of this prayer. God, we want your kingdom to come and then your will be done. Are we ready to exchange wills, will for will? Next one. Give us our daily bread. Not weekly, not yearly. Not that $1 million in my retirement account. I need my daily bread. We let the world have an influence on us, and I'm not saying don't prepare, don't be responsible. I'm not saying that. But if you got your bread today, that's what God promised you. God, tomorrow, give me my bread tomorrow, and I'm so thankful. That's what the scripture said. Are you ready to exchange your will? But if you don't exchange your will, you can't ask for your daily bread because I need to see it. And God's called us to walk by faith. Next one, Natalie. And forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Next one, please. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So the prayer is over Jesus. He models the prayer and he stops the prayer. But then he adds a footnote. What's 14? He says, by the way, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What are you trying to say, Jesus? 15, Natalie. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. So I can do all this praying and walk around with unforgiveness in my heart and still be in my sins. You can do all that praying, shutting the door, coming clean, and then you walk away and you still hate somebody in your heart and you haven't forgiven them. God said, I can't forgive you. That's cold. And that's not the prayer. That's the footnote to the prayer, because he already said, amen, so be it. But by the way, so you walk out of here with unforgiveness in your heart. I don't care who they are and what they've done. If we're going to ask God to forgive us, then God said, you got to let them go. Amen. So God's leading us in a time of prayer. Season of prayer as the new. Remember, the old wants to be lazy and hide. The new wants to seek God and thrive. And you have to have a prayer life. I mean, a daily prayer life. I'm talking 2 minutes a day of real prayer. Let's go. Let's take a look. All right. Let's get into today's lesson. The Lord just had me go there. I don't know, because somebody need to hear that. Somebody say amen. If you don't get nothing else, know that God knows what you need even before you ask it. Stop worrying. I don't know why we worry, why we stressed out, because we don't believe the scriptures. Because if God knows what I need, why am I worried about this, that, and the other? I can rest in God knowing he's going to work it out. I don't have to be afraid. I can get caught off guard and start shaking. I say, wait. God knows what I need. When I get to my prayer time and I pray right there, slow it down. God knows what I need. Amen. Go to Daniel chapter 9. I love just going through the word because it's just that good. Somebody say amen. As I was studying the heroes of faith, I noticed that they all had a strong prayer life. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about the heroes of faith. If you go through, you cannot find a hero of faith without a strong prayer life. Even Jesus Christ, he would always take James, Peter, and John and say, let's go pray. He come back, he falls them asleep. But Jesus was praying and they were sleeping. He said, could you not pray for 1 hour? I'm just saying 2 minutes. Right, let's be real. I don't even know if have I ever prayed for about an hour. I guess I have. Okay. All right. At some point, I can't remember when, but I know I've had to have prayed for an hour. Amen. Yeah, I remember the old days of, I didn't grow up in church, but when I was in church, we would have the all-night shut-ins, right? And you pray all night. You sleep most of the night, and you pretend to be praying, okay? Let's be real with that, too. I might have got an hour in on one of those shut-ins at some point. Jesus said, could you not pray for 1 hour? Can you not pray for two? Is God worth it? Do you believe his word enough that he is your fortress? He's your strength. He's your redeemer. He's your deliverer. Do you believe it enough to pray a couple of minutes a day just to check in with God and to keep that connection going? So here we have Daniel in chapter 9. Daniel actually did something like we did. And Pastor Manny just brought up a strong point yesterday. We were talking about which book Isaiah was written after or before.
Isaiah was written before Ezra.
Although Isaiah comes first in the Bible, was or after Ezra or whatever.
It was before Ezra.
It was before Ezra.
Okay,
Isaiah was written before Ezra. And so Jeremiah, during my study, I found out, and thank you, Pastor Manny, that Jeremiah was was written before Daniel. So Daniel's reading the book of Jeremiah, and he realizes, as God reveals to him, that they've been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And as he reads Jeremiah, he realizes when he does the time and God shows him that they're getting ready to come out of captivity. He says, oh, my God, they're getting ready to come out of captivity, but they're still living like they're captive. Yeah. The same stuff that kept them in captivity, they're going to get out and try and take it with them to the promised land. And it doesn't work that way. He said, the 70 years are almost up and they're getting ready to get out, but they're still living like that. And so it goes to show us that we, in some places, we can't go with the old baggage, cannot come to the new promised land. It's some things that we have to get rid of. It's like us reading Revelation. And we read that whosoever's name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And we go, oh, my God. So if somebody's not saved, then you start saying, oh, okay, I need to start telling people about this. I need to start. He goes into prayer immediately because he realizes that if your name's not written in that book of life, then you go to hell. You cast into the lake of fire. And it's an urgency and he starts praying. So, my God, we read what's going to be in the last days. It's going to be men are going to be heady and backbiting, no natural affection, truth breakers, all the stuff. We say, oh, my God, we need to tell people about this. I need to start praying right away. So he kind of gets that revelation. And they decide, most of the Jews decided to stay in Babylon because they got so comfortable there. They never made it to the promised land, to the point that Peter, A.D. 31, Peter goes to Babylon because there's tons of Jews still in captivity. And he preaches the gospel to them. So Daniel reads this revelation. And family, don't let anything hold you back. That's why we got to come clean. All right, here we go. That's a Daniel 9:3. So all this comes to Daniel. And he says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So he says, I went into prayer immediately. My face unto the Lord, the existing one. Prayer, petition, fasting, sackcloth and ashes, which just means humility, surrender, submission to God. Verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord, my God, and made confession and said, see, you always got to come clean. Notice the pattern. He says, O Lord, the great and awesome God. See, you're lifting God up above everything that's happening. Same pattern, the awesome God. You keep covenant and mercy unto them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. He confessed his sins and he confessed how faithful God is. So in your prayer, confess your sins and confess the faithfulness, the awesome and the beauty of God. It's not just, oh, God, I'm all jacked up, but God, you're so high and lifted up. So it's not about me. It's about God. It is about me, but it's more about who God is. In the midst of the prayer, says, we have sinned. Wow. We have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedness and have rebelled even by departing from the precepts and your judgments. That sounds like us today, doesn't it? That sounds like America today, boy. As much as God has blessed America, America doesn't seem like it wants to bless God. And as Daniel's praying And interceding, family, this is the pattern. We need to be praying and interceding as well, because it's not going to end well if we continue to turn our back on God. And so God looks for those to stand in the gap, and that's us. We have to have the same fervency to pray and to connect with God daily. Got to stand in the gap. And everything else is just a distraction. I guess if we could get a glimpse into the spiritual world and just see the spiritual warfare that's going on, right? And I'd probably call one of my brothers, hey, man, how you doing? Good. Hey, man, did you see the game the other night? He'll ask me, and I say, man, are you saved? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Because that's what, when you look in the spirit, I mean, that's what it's really about, all this. Hey, man, how's the job? Man, have you accepted Christ? How are the kids? Have you accepted Christ? How's the ministry going? Have you accepted Christ? Have you accepted Christ? That's all I want to know. All this other stuff don't matter. Hey, I heard you got a promotion. Have you accepted Christ? My kids got accepted into college. Have your kids accepted Christ? It's other stuff. If we could see what's really going on, and we see what we looked at the death clock a couple of months ago, and somebody's dying, what, every second or something like that? And you're seeing souls either going to the lake of fire, to hell, or either to eternity with Christ. And if we saw in the spirit realm, and that's all it's doing, if they're splitting going one way, we wouldn't talk about anything else. It would be an urgency. Hey, you know, I got another degree. But have you accepted Christ? Are you going to vote this election? Are you going to accept Christ this election? Are you going to make Jesus your king? That's all this other stuff is a distraction. People are losing hope and checking out. And we're talking about stuff that really doesn't mean anything. And it's hard for me because I'll sit and I'll do my work and I'll watch a game because I'm a big sports fan. And you see people with their face painted and I'm screaming at the TV, have you accepted Christ? Are you that much into your team where it's your whole life has consumed everything about you? And you would die and you go to hell and the devil would be like, yeah, you're a Cowboy fan, okay. You committed your life to the Cowboys, huh? Every game, every stat, everything. Like, I mean, what's any Cowboy fans? I'm not, I just had to pick a team. I had to pick a team. Sorry, but I like the Cowboys too, okay? All right. Well, I just had to pick a team. You know. That's America's team. There you go. What is it? Hot dogs, baseball, apple pie, Chevrolet, and the Cowboys. Right. Okay. It's America. That's what we're about. But have you accepted Christ? Family, if we could just get a glimpse, we would have a whole different attitude. Man, you see, I just signed this contract, but have you accepted Christ? Dude, you can't take that with you. Man, I just closed this deal on, but well, we gotta get it. If not, then there's no fervency, there's no urgency to our prayer life, to reading the word, to spending time with those that we love, to sharing Christ with those that we love. Look what he says in verse 5. He says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, have done wickedness and rebelled, even departing from the precepts and from your judgment. We haven't kept your word, Lord. And remember, God didn't write that for him. He wrote it for us. It prevents us from self-destructing. It prevents us from going outside the lines and not knowing where the limits and the boundaries are. The words, oh, nope. Something has to keep us in line. Otherwise, we're way out of bounds. He said, we so far out of bounds, it's ridiculous. And then verse 6, he says, neither have we listened unto your servants and your prophets, which spake the name of our kings and princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness, look at this, make a note, righteousness belongs unto you, but unto us confusion of faces. We are so confused because we're not being righteous like our Holy Father. We are confused. If it's confusion in your life right now, ask yourself, as we found out and we talked about yesterday, it's three reasons why I'm confused. Number one is the sin, because sin will confuse you. You don't know, okay, should I do it? I'm already, what do I do next? How do I hide this? How do I lie about it? How do I get out of this? Sin will have you confused. So we talked about it yesterday. It was sin. It was Satan. Got you confused because he's playing tricks, because you've fallen for the schemes and you all caught up. And you're confused. Or the third one is because God is pruning you and you're fighting against and you don't understand. We hope it's the third one. Amen. Bless you. But you can't allow God to have his work in your life. God has to trim some of the things off. Amen, Brother John. John shared that yesterday. Sometimes we're being pruned and we're fighting. Why is this happening? Why, God? I got to cut it off. I got to cut some stuff off. I got to cut some people off. Otherwise, you're not going to grow. What do you call the people who works with flowers and stuff like that? What do you call them? Who has a garden? Let's see, that's a hard word. That's why I didn't say it. Say it again, Sister Jackie. That person, yes. Okay. And the rose bushes, right? You got to cut those things, otherwise they don't blossom and they don't grow. Right? John, you work with flowers. No, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, John. All right. John, you're a horticulturist, John. All right. You're a flower.
I'm a branch manager.
You're a branch manager. That's right. It's another way he works with plants and flowers and stuff. But you understand that some stuff got to be cut. Otherwise, it's not going to grow. If you just let a plant and a wild weed grow, it'll be out of control. So God gives us limits and boundaries so we don't go so far out of control. And we fight against it just like they fight against it. And Daniel had the mindset and the heart set when he read it in the word. Oh, my God, I got to get on my knees. I got to get on my face right now and bring this to God. Family, if you're confused, go to God. Come clean. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Give me direction. Let me trust you with the details. If you're in sin, you need to confess it and get out of it. If you're allowing the enemy to use you, then you need to stand on God's word. And if it's God pruning you, then you need to submit and surrender to the will of God and stop fighting against it. They were in captivity 7 years, 70 years. We read Wednesday night how the children of Israel, they were in Book of Numbers. When chapter one starts, they are in their second year of wandering in the wilderness. 2 years of wandering in the wilderness. A trip that should have took 11 days. They're in their second year. Second year. And the trip, if they would have just did what God told them to do, they would have been at their destination, the promised land, in 11 days. Talk about confusion. You'd be out there just wandering around, just fighting against God, and you're making it longer and harder than it should be. You should have been where God had you. So that's when you got to confess, come clean, submit, and surrender so you can get where God wants you. Then he can take you where he wants you to go after that. All right, let's see. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongs unto you, but unto us confusion of faces at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses, because of their sins, they have trespassed against you. Verse 8, O Lord, to us belong confusion of face. We are confused. Our kings are confused. Our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Sounds like America today. The whole country is confused. Don't believe me? Watch the debate tonight. And see, everybody's confused because we've turned our back on God. Watch that thing and start praying immediately for the direction of this country. If you choose to, I'll probably be watching the game and praying for America. Amen. I just know that our presidents are confused, our senators, our governors, those running for president are confused because we have sinned against God. Verse 9, to the Lord our God, somebody underlined this. To the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness. After all that, the loving kindness, the favor of God, and God forgives us. I love God for that. Because despite all that we've done, and we can all trace our life back before we got saved, after we got saved, during the process of being saved, last night, this morning, we could still say the mercy and the forgiveness belongs to God, though we have rebelled against, even though we've rebelled. His attributes, his characteristics are mercy and forgiveness. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk, and we haven't done anything he asked us to do, or very little, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants and his prophets. Go to verse 16. Natalie, take us to 16. And it says, O Lord, according. And now it shifts. Daniel was praying and interceding and talking. And then there's a shift where he starts the petition. O Lord, according to all, somebody online, all your righteousness. Not because of us, not because we got it so good, but Lord, because of all your righteousness, I'm begging you. He shifts from the prayer to the petition to the begging, and he says, God, because of your righteousness, I'm begging you. And that's where we got to pick it up next week. Let us just have a couple of minutes of prayer. Last week it was too cold with the air. This week I'm about to pass out because it's too hot. I don't know what to do with this thing. Oh, Lord, help us. Let's just bow our heads just for a quick minute. And God, we just want to, as a body of believers, Lord, we know that the mercy of God and the forgiveness is your character. Those attributes, Lord, let us embrace those. You're not out to get us, for you didn't send your son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Christ might be saved, might be rescued. We thank you, Lord, that you're not out to get us. Even with the warning you gave Daniel that they're coming out of captivity, go pray and warn them to get it together so when they get out, they can be free. So, God, we want to be free in you. So we ask that you would forgive us. And we know that you hear our prayers because we are the righteous through Jesus Christ, not because of what or anything we've done. We couldn't work for it, Lord. We could never be that good, and we could never be that bad where you would say you couldn't use us. So we thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you for your word this morning. This season of prayer that you have us in, to come clean, to be forgiving, to be loving, to stand in the gap, to seek your face, to live your word, Lord. As you're challenging us, Lord, we accept the challenge to get it right. We want to do better because we know we can, because we can be empowered through your Holy Spirit to live this thing. So I pray for all under the sound of my voice, and I thank you for them, Lord. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. If that's you, you never accepted Christ, elevate your hand. You say, Pastor, my first step in coming clean is I've never accepted Christ, and I need to do that today. If that's you, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate. I feel like I've been in captivity for those 70 years. And as God is bringing me out, I don't want to bring the baggage that was there. Try and take that baggage to the promised land. It'll never make it. If that's who you want to rededicate your life this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're here, you're looking for a church home. You've been visiting. You say, I haven't officially joined, but I know this is a place that God has for me where I can grow, I can learn. I love the people. They love God. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be part of your family. We'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your brothers and sisters in Christ. As we walk together, as we grow together, as we navigate through together, because trust me, we can't do it alone. It never works. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you, Lord. I'm going to ask my brother Stan and my sister, come on up. I saw your hands. And Lord, we just... I'm going to ask some of the brothers and sisters just to come and surround them. And you're coming up for membership.
Yes.
Amen. And membership. And is it... Give me your name again.
Linda.
Linda. We just thank God for Sister Linda and Brother Stan, and they're coming up for membership just to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. God's been working on their heart and working in their life, and Linda and Stan, we just promise to walk with you through this thing. Not judging, not condemning, but walking. Not getting in your business, because we got too much of our own business going on. But we open up our arms to embrace you and to be here for you.
Yes.
To walk with you, to love you.
Yes.
As we journey together this walk of faith with God. To have your back and not stab you in the back.
Yes.
To hold your hand and just be there. So, Lord, we thank you for this day.
Yes.
Sister Linda and Brother Stan, what a blessing that they're going to add their gifts and their talents that you put inside of them that they're going to bring to this ministry. And, God, we just promise to love them and to be there. Thank you for this sister in Christ and this brother in Christ. Thank you for all those surrounding them and just what you've done here at South Bay. We're not a church. We're families. We're not members. We're family members.
Yes.
We love you, Lord. We love each other. Thank you for the freedom that's in this place. No games, no tricks, no gimmicks. The power of God, the presence of God, the love of God, the love of God's people. So thank you for this special day, Lord, and as you're teaching us how to pray, how to be transparent and real with you. Cover and keep them, Lord. And we thank you for them. We promise to be good stewards over their lives. And we bless them and we bless you now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet.
Love you, Linda. Appreciate
you. Thank you. I love you too. Thank you.
Welcome home, Brother Stan. Welcome home, brother.
Glad to have you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.